Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Philantrepreneur Show, hosted by Dr. Victoria Boyd and Pat Landecker, designed to offer tips, strategies, and insight to empower nonprofits and entrepreneurs with sustainable win-win solutions. The Philantrepreneur Show is sponsored by the Philantrepreneur Foundation, building capacity through education, awareness, and resources. We welcome your questions and input. To call in and join the show, please dial 347-945-7404.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Victoria Boyd, president and founder of the Philantrepreneur Foundation and the other many hats I wear, and my co-host, Pat Landecker. She is a board member of the Philantrepreneur Foundation and also founder of Ruby Red Slipper Project and Synergy Coaching. Good morning, Pat. How are you doing today? What's up?
Well, I am doing just fantastic. I am so excited. You know, I'll be starting my self-empowerment after school program at Brown School of International Studies. And one of the things I'll be forming for that class is a board. And so, of course, I'm going to have you come over and, you know, help them understand what it means and different things like that. But it's just all so exciting. I'm just overwhelmed and excited and can't wait to start and all of that. So my life is good.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'm glad you mentioned boards, because that's really what we're going to be talking about today. You know, the Philantrepreneur Radio Show offers tips and strategies and insights for the business and nonprofit sector, and it's helping us accomplish our mission to build capacity through education, awareness, and resources. And today we're going to really zero in on our educational focus. And anyone who knows me, has read any of my books or followed any of my blogs, know that my passion, my core value is education. And I have really immersed that same value into the Philantrepreneur Foundation. So I get really excited. I don't know, I'm over here doing backflips. No, not quite. But I really get excited. Yeah, probably. When I talk about anything that's related to learning. And I'm sort of just coming down from this high that I had from this past weekend when we actually launched our new program, Board Bound Leadership Training. It's really an intensive deep dive into all of the aspects that are essential and critical to have a strong nonprofit board and its members be assets. So today we're going to have on the show, and I'm really excited, three of the participants that came to Board Bound Leadership Training, and they're going to share their experience and perhaps, you know, have a few aha moments that they want to tell us about. Pat, but you were there the entire time. What was your feeling? I got
my feeling was, wow, I felt like I was drinking from a fire hose. And, you know, I always say this to you, Victoria, I thought I knew. I've been on a lot of boards. I thought I knew everything. But, boy, it's so in-depth, so many things that even the most experienced board member does not know. So it was fantastic. It really was.
Okay, so we might as well just sort of keep this show moving on. We're going to be right back with our first guest, Dr. Rochelle Hooks, right after this really brief message.
The Philantrepreneur Foundation. Build your capacity with our educational programs and professional services. Learn how to be a philantrepreneur. Maximize your social impact and maximize your revenue. Visit thephilantrepreneur.com or philantrepreneurfoundation.org to find services, resources, and training to launch, enhance, or improve your business or nonprofit strategy. While there, sign up to receive the Philantrepreneur Journal digital publication.
Okay, welcome back. And also, I want you to welcome Dr. Rochelle Hooks. Okay, Rochelle, say hi to our listeners, and please just tell us how you happened to attend Board Bound Leadership Training.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me on, Dr. Boyd. I ended up attending Board Bound Leadership Training because I sit on a board as a member with Triple Five Teens, and so the founder and director of that organization invited me, and I happen to be the director of a not-for-profit, the Helen Tolan Foundation.
Absolutely. So you're also at the College of Southern Nevada. You're a professor.
Yes.
What do you teach over there?
I'm a professor of teacher education here the College of Southern Nevada, yes.
Okay, so you're really, really familiar with educational platforms. So I'm always looking for input. So how did we do in terms of presenting Board Bound Leadership Training in from your perspective?
Okay, it was awesome, and just in a nutshell, very, very well organized. I was able to really keep up the materials that we were given. They were very clear, and what I love, very clear and concise, so they weren't overblown.
Okay.
And then the explanations were very clear, and you given us an opportunity to really ask questions as they came up for us. So it wasn't like you were rushing through any materials or anything like that. And if we had those aha moments or questions, you know, we could raise our hands and you would acknowledge that. You know, sometimes you take notes and you write it down, but then something else comes up and you forget about the question you really wanted answered right then. The whole process was just informationally packed. I mean, I just gathered so much information, but it wasn't overwhelming.
You know,
oh,
Rochelle,
great.
Dr. Hooks, this is Pat. You said the key word. It was so well organized, and it flowed so well. I mean,
yes.
I sat there, like I said, as a person who's just been to many conferences and different things, and you sit there and you go, what, huh, where? Wait a minute, I thought we were – it was just fluid. It really was. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
What was a plus for me is that Dr. Boyd ahead of time familiarized herself with each of our organizations. So to have the information even more personalized was a plus, because you could really see how your organization fit into what she was talking about. So she used our real-life organizations as examples of how this information would work for us. And
wow.
So, you know, we get the theory, but we got practical information also.
Yeah, I call that just add water tips and tools, and you did really get that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and I did. You know me, I overdo things. But I went, and everyone who registered, I went to look at, okay, so who do they represent and what type of things are they really looking for, so I could hopefully make sure that I either inserted them into what I call the generic platform or curriculum that I had developed so that it could become really personal. So, I mean, it was there. You've been on boards, and you know. Did you have any specific aha moments? You know, where it really spoke to you that you know really might help your particular situation and organization.
I guess you can ask Pat that question, because she sat behind me and Diane, and our heads were together off and on throughout the whole day. I mean, just the aha moments. I would look over at Diane and I would write a note or I would whisper something. So I have, prior to being with the Helen Tolan Foundation, sat on a board, and just the foundation folded because nobody really understood their position. So just the whole time of just actually knowing how to get started, what's the first thing that we should do? What's the most important thing? And that was really getting the board familiarized with their jobs and what they needed to
yep.
do. And so not putting the cart before the horse, you know, and that was really a plus for me because that's the direction that our foundation, Helen Tolan Foundation, was going in, that we get educated about this process of being a not-for-profit. Another thing that was a great aha moment was getting rid of the tin can mentality, taking it out of that we're a not-for-profit, but we're a business. And to
Absolutely.
Operate like a business. Therefore, everyone's held accountable to
mm-hmm.
do what
and
they're
so,
supposed to do.
And so I don't use
do.
The term not-for-profit anymore, but what's the term?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, mini quiz. Your for-purpose business.
For purpose. Our for-purpose business. Yes, ma'am, I'm looking at it right in my notes. Our for-purpose business. And so it was just that was so enlightening to me also because it's really, I guess, in our foundation, for some of us, that's going to be a paradigm shift to
yes.
To really understand what our purpose is and understand how to operate as a business to achieve our goals.
Absolutely. And in fact, in our tips today, we always give philanthropeneur tips, and we're going to be talking about those paradigm shifts just a little bit. But just, you know, as we're sort of getting to the end of your segment, tell us about what is the Helen B. Tolan Foundation?
Okay, and it's Helen A. Tolan.
Oh,
I'm sorry, I don't know where the B came from. Yeah, Helen A. Tolan. Well, the Helen Tolan Foundation is a community service foundation. We have three major programs right now that we're interested in implementing, and they're all equally important to us. One is the African Refugee Program. Mrs. Tolan has always been very instrumental in bridging the gap between America and Africa, and she is a person of be the change you want to see in the world. She has done things single-handedly as far as putting disadvantaged African youth through school. She has one individual that just by doing yard sales, she has put all the way through college. She has established various programs in Nigeria. She's visited South Africa, Zimbabwe. And if you just pass her home, you'll see beautiful statues from Zimbabwe that are in her yard. Mrs. Tolan is our first African-American female principal in the Clark County School District. And she has many firsts to her name, but her goal is that she's an educator extraordinaire, 90 years old, and still educating anyone who comes by her home. She just sent an African artifact to her hometown in Missouri to implement some multicultural awareness in that town. So the foundation we do, we work with displaced African Africans that live in Las Vegas. We also have a subcommittee called West Women in Power and Sisterhood Today, where we develop and implement women empowerment and educational workshops for women and families, as well as wanting to do some work at the women's prison. And that's another one of our goals, to provide some enrichment
okay.
programs there.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I mean, covering a lot of ground there. So I really want to, first of all, thank you for investing in yourself and your organization. And that's what I sort of look at when you continue your education to really benefit what you're doing. And so by attending BPLT, I think it just will take what you're trying to do to the next level. And
yes,
so once again,
definitely.
I want to thank you for being on the show. And we're going to do you have any last comments or just anything? Because our next guest will be coming on in just a second.
I suggest that any for purpose organization look into being a part or taking the coursework from the Board Bound Leadership Training. I believe that it can only strengthen an organization.
Yeah.
I'm just excited, and I shared this with our board members actually Monday, and education is key. It's key. It keeps you out of a lot of trouble. All the things, the governance part, oh, my goodness. I'm just rereading and going over information. So I just want to thank you for making this available to us, and I look forward to our other board members being able to take part in this type of training.
Oh, that's great.
I thank you so much. Absolutely. That is my goal, that, you know, we share it with individuals, but then they become almost our flag bearers. They go out and become our champions and talk about, you also need this. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sure we'll be keeping in tech, in touch. It's been a pleasure to, you know, hear your aha moments and to hear about your organization, the Helen A. Tolan Foundation. Next up, we're going to have Nancy Grimes. She's co-founder of Gateway Opportunities for Exceptional Learning, or Go Excel. Okay, Nancy, welcome to the show. How are you today? Oops. Hi, is this Nancy?
It is.
Hi, I just did the intro. I didn't see that you had, I didn't have you clicked on. But I just introduced you, so welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here, Dr. Boyd. Nice to talk with you again.
Okay, so you came all the way from Logandale to attend our Board Bound Leadership training, and I'm totally excited that you made that journey. But what sort of caught your attention or motivated you to come all the way to Las Vegas to attend a full-day training like that?
Oh, let me tell you. I was excited when I saw Linda Lysakowski as one of our two trainers. I know Linda from several years ago, and I bought three of her wonderful books and found them to be immensely helpful, and I wouldn't have missed that. And I also saw that you had extensive training and had a foundation even for those of us who are doing nonprofit work. And I was so excited that we had a team of people who were going to teach us, so I wouldn't have missed it.
Well, yeah, Linda Lysakowski was phenomenal. She's just phenomenal anyway. She has written probably 13 or 14 books plus a few other guides. But she was my co-developer of the program. She won't be always there to do the presentation, but we worked for several months in creating the content. And because we did do the launch here in Las Vegas, where we both live, she was able to be there. But, she's just I'm honored that she works with me and does so much for the foundation. I'm glad, you know, that was a calling card for you. So you may, and so now you've met her in person. How? Woohoo! So yes. So you made this trip down to Las Vegas with your partner in your organization, Kaylin Pendleton.
Right.
Was it worth it? I guess that's the bottom line. Was it worth it?
Well, listen, I got up at 4:30 that morning to get ready to go, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. So was it worth it? I am so excited to say that we learned so much. We're changing some things we're doing already, and not just worth it, but most appreciated. I really am so glad you're here for us. We need you because we can't keep reinventing the wheel. There's too much to getting a nonprofit off the ground, and we need somebody with your expertise to guide us. I'm so glad we found you.
Nancy, this is Pat. So happy to hear your voice today.
Hi, Pat. Hi, Pat.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I just wanted to ask you, you know, one of the things that Victoria is big on when she's training nonprofits is the understanding that a nonprofit has to have continuous process improvement. Was that kind of surprising to you that you never get to sit back in your chair and go, oh, okay, we're done, we did it, we can just, you know? I mean, because that's one of the things that, you know, and I'm a project manager and we deal in dimming, you know, continuous process all the time. But until I saw it applied here, I never thought about that. And so many nonprofits don't think about the fact that, you know, just because you called it done, it's never really done. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a challenge, but I'm glad to see that it's part of the process because you have to continually improve. Even if just being a person, you have to continually improve. At least that's the way I try to live my life. So naturally, when you take on something that's this big to help other people, self-improvement of the nonprofit should be part of the process. So my gateway opportunities will outlive me, I'm sure. At least if I've done my job right, it will outlive me. And continually
Absolutely.
Improving it is what's going to keep it going.
And I'm glad you said that because that is one of the responsibilities of a board to ensure that the organization builds and develops sustainability strategies within the processes and systems that they create. You know, not that I'm teaching class again, but sustainability, you know, sustainability has many different definitions. Sustainability in terms of the funding you get, but also sustainability in continuation into the future as a viable organization. That was key for me. Well, that still is key for me. But you asked some very good questions throughout the entire day. And hopefully I was able to address as many as I could. But did you in particular have any aha moments? Maybe I should have called this the aha show.
Well, let me say a word about the question process that you use. I would raise my hand in the middle of one of your sentences, and you would very quickly call on me. And I felt so at ease during the workshop that I asked them what I thought later on were pretty dumb, basic questions. And I was a little embarrassed later on to think what I had asked. But you made me glad that I asked the question, and I got a lot out of your answer. So, all fine with that. It's the first workshop I think I've ever been to where I felt that comfortable in asking a question. And believe me, I asked them. I made a really good use of my time there. So I have a lot of good notes from you. And So I really learned a lot, and ask me another question. I'd be happy to answer it.
Well, I mean, we're looking. I guess I'm looking for those gems, those little jewels that you think that you walk away with. I guess I'm always I like shiny jewels and glittery things, but because there were four different modules, and yes, you know, they all had important information. But I think as I was talking to almost everybody there at some point during the day, that each module for individuals resonated a little bit more than the other modules. For our listeners, the modules that we covered were leadership, governance.
Assessment,
and fundraising.
And
they all
right.
have different places in, but they all go together, but they all have their own attributes that you have to understand individually and then as a whole. So did any one of those modules really speak to you?
Well, all I can say is they all spoke to me. My partner, Kaylin, and I are at the point where we're just beginning. GoEdSel was first a scholarship program, but we have revised, we have teamed up together, and we have revised and enlarged our goals so that now leadership is becoming one of the most important endeavors that we have. We're forming a board. We are rewriting our mission statements. We're setting up a website. We're setting up social media. So we have to get a lot done in a short period of time, and leadership, working with other people, is going to be and is right now very, very important to us. But with that in mind, we also are creating our governance program, our assessment program, and our fundraising program. You see, it all kind of works together, and we see
how it works together.
Yeah, we see
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's how I even opened up that session Saturday morning, because over the past 4 years, I've been doing what I call individual training on just one topic. But I didn't see people connecting the dots and really putting everything together. And I think that's what board-bound leadership training does. It really sort of connects the dots for everybody. Which is just great. Pat, do you have any questions or comments?
The one module that really stood out for me was assessment, because, you know, that's challenging for a board to sit back, and they think they have it right, and then they've got to go back and kind of look at everything and see where they can adjust or refocus or, you know, and a board changes all the time. I mean, not just its members, but its environment, what's trending, what's happening. So, Nancy, I was wondering, you mentioned that you're assessing everything right now. What from this training is going to help you do that?
Well, let me have to think about that. We're talking a little bit about how to do an advisory council. So down the road, we will assemble an advisory council to help us out there. We want to find some influential people along the way who want to make the connection with us but don't have the full commitment for board membership. So we'll look forward to finding those people. We need all the people we can get to help us out here. So an advisory council would be a good way to go. That will be later on down the road.
What did you learn from Dr. Boyd about an advisory council? I know she talked a little bit about that.
Well, she recommended that we find people who are somewhat influential and who have some experience with students with Asperger's, learning disabilities, dyslexia, and attention deficit disorder. Those are the students we serve. We find people who are knowledgeable about those areas. Maybe they have a child or grandchild who suffers with those difficulties. And, you know, those kind of learning problems are pervasive in our society. 25% of students who go to school have them. So 25% gives us a large number of kids to work with. So there will be a large number of adults backing them who would be interested in what we do. So we're excited to know that we are looking around even now for people who have experience and who could be influential for our board. So that's just one example.
Yeah, and I think Linda, when she was talking about that, she pointed out, and it's in the toolkit, because I don't think we've mentioned that all of the attendees got access to a full toolkit, that there's a document on how to assess potential needs in your board members and or advisory council. And so I see that you've done some of that thought process that, okay, who would be great or supportive or an asset as we develop advisory council. I'm seeing you starting.
in any waking moment, I've got Gateway on my mind. Either I am consciously thinking about Gateway and what to do, or I've got it in the back of my mind. Oh, I've got to find a person who, all right, I've got it in the back of my mind what it is I have to do.
And I'm going to change that. You have it front of mind. I'm always telling people, don't put it in the back of your mind. Keep it at the front of your mind. Front of mind. That's what you want.
Where, it's on my mind.
Whatever
for sure.
Front of mind, so that whatever situation you might be, you're always assessing, oh, is this a possible person or resource
exactly.
that we can use?
Nancy,
yes.
Quick question for you.
Okay.
What did you think of that toolkit? I mean, the value of that notebook and what you have access to through the links that you were given, I just thought, wow.
You know, I couldn't even begin to tell you how much money that must be worth.
I know.
It took an awful lot of time to assemble all of that.
Yeah.
But it's a wealth. I couldn't even begin to tell you how much time you're going to be saving us just by the toolkit. It's utterly amazing. I know it's going to save us valuable time because I'm the one that started the paperwork on my gateway. I know how much time all that paperwork takes. Here in front of me, for next to no money, was a wealth, an absolute utter wealth of information that will save us just an awful lot of time. I'm very appreciative of that. I know of nowhere else I can go to get that. So thank you so much, Dr. Boyd.
See, Victoria, worth a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Nancy, I want to again, first of all, thank you for driving all the way down from Logandale to attend our board-bound training here in Las Vegas. Thank you also for your great insight and what you felt about the training and for coming on the show today. I'm sure you've helped a lot of our listeners understand the value and what we're doing. We're going to come back after a quick break with Diane Brown. She's the founder of Triple Five Teens here in Las Vegas, and our first guest, Rochelle, mentioned her name, but we will be back in just a few, a minute and a half with Diane.
The Philanthropreneur Journal,
a
quarterly digital publication reaching over 600,000 entrepreneurs and nonprofits. Get targeted exposure to reach your ideal customer with our unique Ads for a Cause, where 50% of the fee goes to support our nonprofit training and services programs. Together, we can make a difference, create impact, and build capacity. Visit thephilanthropreneur.com, marketing ads tab for all the details. Mention this show and get a 10% discount.
Victoria?
Today's Philanthropreneur Show tip.
Yes, my dashboard didn't work, but here it is. We're doing a Philanthropreneur tip today. And what this past weekend's training confirmed for me was how applicable some beliefs are in either blocking or supporting your success. Last year, I had on an author. His name was Reed Zimmerman, and he wrote a book called The Seven Deadly Sayings of Nonprofit Leaders. And I'm going to talk about, or just briefly mention, the three of the sayings that are really detrimental to success. The first one is, we've never done it that way before. And that can be really, I'll call it a buzzkill, because just because you haven't done it that way before doesn't mean it's not what you need to do now. As was mentioned earlier, times are changing, especially with technology and all the other things. You need to explore what works best for you now, not that you've never done it that way before. The second one is, somehow we'll get by. We usually do. That's just what I call a stick-in-the-mud attitude. You're just staying in an accepting status quo. And that word somehow means that you're just going to go by the seat of your pants. You're going to see what happens instead of being strategic, innovative, and plan for success. And finally, the third one is, we're doing pretty well this year. Pretty well or successful. You always need to be reaching your top potential? Are you reaching your full potential? And are you always striving? So those are our tips for the day. And it's, again, we could, want to ask everyone to just stay on a path of continuous improvement and growth. Okay, we're going to come back to our guest right now. And our next guest is Diane Brown, founder of 555 Teens here in Las Vegas. Welcome to the show, Diane. How are you doing today?
I am doing fine, Dr. Boyd, and hello, Pat.
Hi there.
Okay, so just give us, what is 555 Teens? Tell us a little about that.
555 Teens, as it is a nonprofit organization. We provide after-school and school break program that focus on career development, conflict resolution, financial literacy training in the surrounding area of North Las Vegas, Nevada, for youth ages 12 to 20 of years.
Okay, so you've got a big, wide span of who you're serving there. That's wonderful. Right. And I happen to know that you're fairly new in terms of your organizations. It's maybe about 6 months old. So you spent the day with me learning at Board Bound Leadership Training. What did you think, just, you know, about the whole experience, that whole 8 hours? No, we were actually there 9 hours. What about that whole experience for you?
Wow, I have been listening to the show, and I'm so teary-eyed. My eyes is just so full of tears every time I embrace to be in your presence with the knowledge and the information that you give, and how you teach, and the simplicity of how you give your information to, you know, when I receive your information. So my experience was a great experience. I was like the child in the room, like the baby bird when the mother's trying to feed him a worm. I had my head up. I had my head and my ears open, and I was so excited, and you would hear me, you know, moaning and groaning because it was so good. The information was so great, and the insight to, you know, when you it's almost like, you know, winning the lottery to me, because I was just like, oh, you know, I was just like, oh my goodness, wow.
I gotta say something right here, Diane, because I was sitting behind you and Dr. Hooks, and it was so cute because they were whispering. And the thing about you, Diane, is you kept pulling stuff out of this notebook you brought—not the one you got, but one you brought—and you would show it to Dr. Hooks, and I could tell that you were making the connections to the information you had gathered.
Yes, and
to what Dr. Boyd was teaching. Yeah, it was like it was just adorable watching the two of you, and you had like a zillion aha moments, girlfriend.
Well, I did. I was just like, oh my God, and I was pulling out my book from, you know, because Dr. Boyd had been working with me from day one, from getting the foundation together and stuff. So she's a great mentor, a great leader, and I just. Any moment that I can spend with her, get close to her, next to her, you know, I follow her in different events that she has. But this right here was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I felt like I was in the midst of a great celebrity, which I, you know, and she is.
Uh-oh.
To me.
Wait. Don't make her head too big.
Whoa.
Now.
Wait a minute now. Okay. I'm going to have to add. Okay. Wait a minute now. Okay. Making me sit over here, start getting up on my throne.
Oh,
you're
going
to have to start pulling me down off this pedestal. No, the thing is, I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, my passion is teaching and training. And I just get into the moment. I don't know. So for a few moments there, I was dancing around, you know. I just love what I'm doing. And so when I see people, and I guess that's why I keep asking for the aha moments, because
right.
I'm assessing everyone sitting in the audience or in the classroom, and I'm looking, and I can almost immediately tell when that light bulb goes on for them for a particular topic that I'm talking about. Because I taught dance, I look at body language. I can see when they either lean into me or they're not understanding it because they lean away. I mean, there's little nuances that probably nobody even pays attention to but me when I am assessing if I'm connecting with the participants. And it's very important for me to connect with the participants, because if I can't convince them, first of all, that I do have the experience and knowledge and sort of know what I'm talking about, but then to get them to understand it. Yeah, this could be much more complicated, and I could it could be explained so people are scratching their head, like, what is she talking about? But that's not the role or the goal for me. I wanted to put it into very simple, concise, step-by-step process of here's what you do, you know, and how's you doing? And I'm so glad that, you know, you mentioned that, you know, it was easy to follow, easy to understand,
yes.
You know.
Not only that, I mean the passion. I was talking with your son one day, and the passion behind it, you know. I just look at the passion, how you give, you know, all your energy into it, and that's what, and it just how you move across the room to keep our attention span. You know, it was not a moment that anybody was asleep. You know, yawning. We was like, can you give us more? Can you give us more? It was like an energy in the room. Yes,
well, yeah,
it was.
And I guess a lot of that comes because I am a trained trainer in terms of how to engage students. And I think that it might be another element that sets this training apart. Like you, Pat, I've gone to a lot of training. And even though they might have a lot of valuable content, you're just bored to death. You know, and it's you say, wow, I wish I could really engage with this person standing up in front of the room, but they're not really trying to engage with the audience. And so I guess I look at the learning environment, the learning experience, and the content that's being developed. It's important to me even how the room is set up, that, you know, you have all of these, you have food and everything was provided for you, so you were almost in a self-contained little bubble so that you could totally immerse yourself in that experience that was happening right then and there. Did it feel too long for you? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Diane, what you were witnessing is true passion for what you do. I mean, yes. Victoria has such a passion for it. I mean, not to speak of the depth of knowledge on the subject of anything bored, but her passion is evident, you know?
Yeah. I mean, her passion was so strong, we didn't even realize we was there for 9 hours.
Just
let you know. You know, we did not, you know, like, we wanted more. Can you, you know, like, you know, especially when we got to the end, it's like we had another drive to go extra, but she had given so much of herself. And we know, I know every time she do an event, she just like, oh, my God, she start early in the morning, and she just arrives early in the morning. And it's like, it's just awesome. It's just awesome for her to be a great leader, a leadership, to talk about leadership and being an example of a leadership, which, you know, the passion is there again.
Absolutely.
I totally am thanking both of you. And that's one of the key issues we talked about as board members when you're assessing and wanting to bring them on, that they need to come with the passion for whatever your cause is, because that will make the work so much easier. And that sort of is, in my case, the total example, because I do have a passion to see nonprofits succeed. Whatever it is I'm doing, whatever strategy or help I'm providing, it doesn't feel so much like work for me, because I know that I'm having impact on either an organization's success or someone's life. And that is really my payback, or, you know, how I get through those days. Yes, I did crash on that Sunday. Nobody probably even saw me. Because I truly was, I had given almost 250% that day. I didn't realize how much I was doing until Sunday.
Oh, my
but it was great.
It was awesome.
Okay, so is there, like, any one thing that you actually went and applied immediately? One tip or one thing that you learned that you went and actually implemented within the next couple of days of doing that training?
Yeah. It's the leadership.
Tell us.
The module about leadership, which we spent a great deal, which I loved it. Because what it did, it opened my eyes for my organization, because this the role, this is where I'm having my problem at, is finding, board member. I had no knowledge how and what I was looking for in a board member. And when you got through with the leadership, I said, oh, wow. I said, now, we talked about people's getting on the bus and getting them off the bus and things like that. And then we talk about, what's in a board member mind, what's in their lip, what's in their heart. And it's just like, I thought about it. It's not a bad word to say, but I need to find a new set of board members that have a passion. I just need some people to get off the bus right about now, because I'm trying to grow an organization for the community that will impact these teenagers' lives. So, when I got through, I said, oh, my God, I got these people on my bus. And I said, oh, my God.
That is a real testament to the Board Brown leadership training, to Dr. Boyd, because when you can turn somebody from people that they were like, I got so-and-so, to realize that they can be more empowered with different folks. But until you know that whole bus thing, Jim Collins' book, which I recommend everybody read, Good to Great. It really does make sense because, you can be good, but you can be great.
Great.
And she just laid that out so well for you guys.
You don't want a leadership that want to build a resume. You want a leader that helped you get the passion, what you got for the community, like the passion that she drives. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, now I know how to find the right board member, the responsibility.
Oh,
I understand that my role. I like the part where she shifted from being a CEO and being a board member, leader, and the different hats that she had to cross over. I was just dumbfounded. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I was like,
Victoria, did we put something in the online stuff about like a template letter to send to the board members? You just asked to be board members, but now you got to let them go. Did we put something in there like that?
I will create one. If it's not, just know that the toolkit is going to be continually growing as new material and material that I see is valuable or needed. I'm going to be putting that in that toolkit. And the only way you can get access to that toolkit is to attend a board-bound leadership training, because otherwise just looking at it, it's not going to make sense. You need the background information, the training on why you need these different pieces of resources that are in that toolkit, because not only do you get, when you get access to that whole drive of information, you get the entire presentation, all of those handouts, and the supplemental resources that we spoke of, but we didn't go into, because technically this was our shortened version, even though it was 9 hours. This was our short version of this training. This training technically originally was going to be a 6-week training, and then we brought it down to 2 days. But we're eventually going to present it in about 3 different platforms. And so I'm just excited to, first of all, you were my guinea pigs. because I knew that those were the 4 areas that we needed to really dive deep, because many, people on the board, they immediately go to, what is the governance? What are the roles and responsibility? And what is fundraising? Those are about the only 2 things they ever talk about. But unless you know how to be a leader for a nonprofit, and then how leadership plays into your role as the governing body, and then how you have to do assessment before you can even think about doing fundraising.
Yes.
There was no way to separate those 4 topics without having an incomplete package. And I'm really excited because all of our guests today have talked about how they all work together, that there was – and I it wasn't a leading question. I was like, what is the aha moment or what module meant the most? But I'm actually glad that everyone has said that all four had importance. They all had equal impact. So did you have an aha, or did I ask that already? Because I'm in my aha moment right now.
Yes, like Pat was saying, I had that all throughout with every module that you talked about. And when you talked about the internal and the external assessment, you know, to help you succeed your company, to help you, grow in the outcome of what you want, you know, because sometimes you were saying that sometimes you can start an organization and you don't want to collapse within a year. So all the information that you gave was building a great, strong foundation of running a nonprofit organization for profit, you know. I the mentality of begging, the can mentality. I can just go on and go on and go on. And then I like the certification program. We talked about being certified. I think every board member need to attend these classes, be certified, know their role, you know, and know how to understand what the important role that they play.
Diane, earlier on you mentioned, what did you say, financial?
Literacy.
What was the second word? Literacy. Well, I want you to know that Junior Achievement, I've actually gone and done work for them in the classroom. They're a partner of CCSD. But I bet you could get them to send a couple of folks out. They have an amazing program and package that educates kids on financial literacy. And I think you should reach out to them and see when you get everything going if you can get one of their representatives to come out and talk to your kids about it and put on the program. And I'm happy to do that myself because I've done it already for them. But, yeah, think about that.
I
thank her for the connection. Not only do y'all give resources, but y'all do referrals. Dr. Board always shoots me an email referring me to someone in the community to help build me up, you know. And go ahead, Dr. Board.
Well, it was just that's another part or recommendation while everyone was in the room. I even told her, I said, I hope all of you are meeting each other and recognizing the collaborations that could happen right here in this room. I know that because we had the Technology Academy, Professional Institute of Technology Academy, PETA, in the room. And Silo, who was also there of Serving Hope Las Vegas, is always recommending or referring some of his I won't call them clients, but the people he's helping to get training. And so I saw them connecting and talking and building relationships. And so that is just even going back to our mission, education, awareness, and resources. I feel networking and connecting is a resource. The education is sort of obvious. And just awareness of everything out there that you need to know. Wow, we've really covered a lot of ground today. Diane, I want to thank you. Thank you again for supporting everything that I do, for coming out to the training.
Yes.
I'm so happy that everything we presented was worthwhile and of value to you, and that you've actually taken some of it and implemented it within 2 days after doing the training. She actually has already sent me her homework assignment. I gave the entire class a homework. actually.
Teacher.
So, she tried to impress the teacher. But what it does, it affirms that what was in that training does have value. You know, because when you create something and you launch something brand new, especially me, I'm always, okay, is this the right content? Am I covering everything I need to cover? I'm totally on cloud nine now that everything that was in that particular training was worthwhile, and now it's just about making it bigger, better, and enriching it even more. So thank you for your input, your support along the way, and, you know, I know we will be talking, so have a great day. Okay, Pat.
Thank you.
Absolutely, so much. So we've been discussing this board-bound leadership training. You know, it's just really one of the valuable programs we offer to support nonprofit success. I know you and I are actually going to be talking later. What do you think the value of this is, Pat?
I know oh my goodness, gracious girl! I mean, it just is tremendous. And you know, I was like, I emailed you and I said, we have got to charge for this book. This book has so much value, and I'm so glad that Nancy affirmed that. But the training is just so key. And I think in today's world, you have to be so much more savvy because you're competing for less money than back in the day when it was, brother, can you spare a dime? And people pull people's heartstrings and they would, you know, give you some money. It doesn't work that way anymore. You have to be an intelligent board leader and board member. And I know that at that training on Saturday, Victoria, they got that and more. So I thank you because
absolutely.
I'm going to go back and look at my board and my website and all those things because, you know, they're not meeting the need that you showcased for us on Saturday. So just tremendous. And I just want to say this right now. This program will take place next year again. It'll be
absolutely.
Bigger and better. But if you don't take advantage of it, because both Dr. Boyd and I have gone to these trainings and paid thousands of dollars and gotten not even, I'm going to say, speak for myself, 5% of what she delivered on Saturday. So please be looking out. Dr. Boyd, do we already have a time frame for that?
I know it will be in the first quarter. My plan is to present the one-day platform every quarter, so every 3 months or so. So that it will be sometime between January. You know, our board is meeting in a couple of weeks when we're going to map out a schedule. But the one day will be coming. But also we're going to be launching the certification program, which will be a multi-day program, or actually it will probably cover several weeks so that they can really get in-depth training and get a certificate for it. So nonprofits, when they're looking for board members, they can say, are you board certified? And then we're going to do what is called the organizational series, where we can actually go into an organization and work with them one-on-one, go through the four modules and actually help them set up some of the tools and documents, policies, and guidelines that we talk about in the training and sort of hold their hand and walk them through the process. So we have a lot of things coming up in 2017. It's just going to be exciting. So everybody needs to get on the Philanthropeur website and opt in. So as soon as those things are released, the dates and everything, they will get our newsletter. And then they need to connect with us on all of the social medias because we're always posting things there. So,
and
I mean,
know
we're
that we
winding
do,
down.
We already know, just real quick, we already know that our next Nonprofit Awareness Expo is going to be in April.
April 27th. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's a Thursday, April 27th. We're still deciding if it will be a 1 or a 2 day event, but we know April 27th is the focus target date right now. So that will also be, I'm looking at right around January 1st, that first week in January, that all of our dates will be announced, set, and people can start joining us. Okay, we're going to wrap up this show right now. We want you to join us for our next show, December 7th, as we welcome Mark Lee. He's president of Affinity Fundraising Registration. And he's going to bring some real important legal information regarding your national fundraising efforts. I hope you know that you need to be registered in every state to do that. And as always, we are so proud to bring valuable tips, resources, and information, plus answer your questions here on the Philanthropeur Radio Show. So, in the meantime, we ask, are you a philanthropeur?
Thank you for tuning in to the Philanthropeur Radio Show, hosted by Dr. Victoria Boyd and Pat Landaker. Get involved. Follow us on Facebook and other social media outlets. If you wish to share comments or suggestions or appear as a guest on our show, visit www.philanthropeneurfoundation.org. To contact us, email support@pcclv.org. The Philanthropeneur Radio Show is a production of and sponsored by the Philanthropeneur Foundation, a 501c3 tax-deductible organization.